One of the greatest books of instruction is the writings of Paul in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I'd have you turn to 2nd Corinthians with me this morning, if you would, to chapter 5. What can I say? How can I say it? Who am I? That's the question that mortals have been asking themselves forever. Not just who am I, but what am I, and how am I progressing through this life? Well, I can say I have a good father, I know that, so I know I have good genes, right? I have a great foundation, because my foundation is built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. I know that I have been redeemed. I know that. I know I've been forgiven. That's a fact. And in 2 Corinthians, it says this in chapter 5, and look with me at verse 17, if you would. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Did you know you were new? Brand new. Do you remember when a man came to Christ in the dark of the night? Remember what his name was? And he asked Christ a question. Remember what he asked him? Anybody want to speak up? We're in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17. Do you remember when Christ was visited during his earthly ministry by a man in the middle of the night, and he came to ask Jesus a question? Anybody want to guess what that question was? Nobody? I guess I've spent the last 13 years talking to myself. Are you kidding? Nobody? Charles, what did he ask and who was he? Nicodemus. The man Nicodemus came to Christ in the night. He was afraid to come to him during the day, because Christ was preaching a brand new ministry. He was preaching a new thing, a new idea, that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And you can become new. And you can become, this is what the world doesn't like to hear. World doesn't like to hear these words I'm about to utter. You can become born again. Jesus said to him, I want you to know what you need to do. You need to be born again. The man was asking, how can I join your club, basically? Christ says, it's not a club. It's a new life. It's a brand new life. You can become born again. He says, if you want to follow after me, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, how in the world is that possible? I can't re-enter my mother's womb. That has nothing to do with it. It's perplexed people. People shy away from those words, born again. You're one of those born-again fundamental preachers. No, I'm not. I just believe in what God's Word says. You can call me basically anything you want to call me, but you can't call me not new, because I am. And I know that it works, and I know God does great works in us. He did it for me. He can do it for all of you. Many of you are new. You believe that you've been born again, but some people don't act like it. Just because we used the R word this morning, the retirement word, doesn't mean that we're going to stop doing for Christ what He wants us to do. We'll be caring for her parents. We'll be caring for our children. Our children have honestly given a lot over the last 18 years as well. Times when we could have been with them, we weren't. And I don't regret any moment of that. I'm not going to look back with regret, but I'm just telling you, they gave also. Anytime in ministry, if you want to be new again, it requires something of you. It requires putting your faith into action. People can walk around all day long and say, I'm a born-again Christian, but if that's all they ever say or do, are they? No. They're not. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Christ is pointing out through this lecture that Paul is giving, just like he pointed out to Nicodemus in the middle of the night. You need to let the old things go and pick up the new way of life and move forward with it. So don't dwell on the last 13 years. We can celebrate what God's done here, and I celebrate exactly what God's done here. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. But get on with it. Let the old things pass away. Let new things enter in. Become new. Be the new beginning that you have been. Keep it going. Get on fire for Christ. He goes on, Paul goes on the right, he says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You hear a lot about reconciliation these days. I'm not going to get into that, but what our goal is to bring people to Christ to be reconciled to the God that created us. That's why Jesus came in the first place. That's what I preach all the time, is that God's gift to mankind was to make peace with us. We need to make peace with every day, with every new beginning. Lamentations, the book of Lamentations says, I have hope in the future. I have hope because God's mercies have lifted me up. And I know in my heart that His mercies are new every morning. If you dwell on what was, you will never get through the day joyfully. You will just bemoan it. That's why I ask you, join us, celebrate with us. Things happen. And it doesn't have to be sad. It can be good. It can be joyous. And it can be loving. He's saying basically this, that in my eyes, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in God's eyes, I'm going to paraphrase for God just for a second, in my eyes, because this is what it means to me, in my eyes, you are a brand new creature. The old has passed away, the new has come, and sin is no longer your master. For you died to sin and are now alive to me. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Just turn back in your Bible just a little bit. Romans chapter 6. If you turn back and if you can't find Romans, you've got the wrong Bible in your hand. Turn back with me. Romans chapter 6. I want you to be there and I want you to get this because there's newness in everything we're going to be talking about today. Newness. I don't care how old you are, you don't have to act your age in Christ. And I told some leadership, it's not that I turned 65. That has nothing to do with it. Life just happened. And this is the turning point, that this is the path that we must follow now. This is where we need to go. This is We've been praying about this for 2 years, and then I tell you all the time, I want to tell you this before we read the scripture. I don't like mankind's Lent season. I don't believe it's biblical. I don't believe it's biblical because Christ said, when you have a decision or something that's troubling you or something to get over, when you have a decision to make or when you need to get over something that's troubling you, you need to go to God in fasting and prayer. The most difficult situations require fasting and prayer, and you're not supposed to tell anybody about it while you're doing it. Period. And so this Lenten season where everybody goes around saying, I'm giving this up, I'm giving that up, it's not biblical and it's not right. So what we've done for 2 years is pray about it and talk about it. And for 4 months, and only Marilyn knew, I did something. I fasted and prayed for 4 months. And I came out of it with the same answer that God had given me to begin with. You were brought here to bring peace. You were brought here to help restore the church, stand on its feet for Christ. And if you leave, you must leave in peace. And you must leave a newness. Not old stuff, newness. There's so many different and new faces here. Praise God for that. 140 people here this morning. It's a light morning. This church was about to celebrate. Gary West said that he would do somersaults if we had 50. Then he moved the number to 100. Then he said 150. Then he said 200. He still hasn't done the cartwheel. I'm not staying to 300. I can't do it. It's newness, newness, newness. And I urge this church, the only reason I shared about me was to tell you that God does work when you fast and pray, and He does give you answers. And I am charging this church, I am urging this church, I am recommending that this church do just that. In any way that you choose, you go to the Lord in prayer, and especially this selection committee and especially the church council, you guys need to do some serious contemplation and prayer to make sure that whoever walks through that door, or they're here now, doesn't matter who it is, you need to be sure that that is the person that needs to be in leadership position for Christ. So that it can be new, and so you won't be dwelling on the past. There's no comparison. I would never compare any of you individually with anybody else, because to me, you're all brand new. You're all brand new. You're brand new friends. You're brand new family. It's amazing what the Lord has done. And He can do that if you honor Him. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a reckoning. Newness comes through accepting newness. Some people kick at accepting change. You're harming yourself. You need to reckon it. Get it in your head. Get it settled. Get satisfied with it that you can be new and that you can be exciting and energetic. You have to accept that in order to do it. Saying words won't do it. You need to get it reckoning. You need a reckoning. Get it satisfied so that you can be new and alive to Christ and dead to the old stuff. This is a chance to clean. This church is so good, has been so good to us, but this is a chance for you guys to reset, literally reset, what this church is and what it stands for, and to move forward even better. Even better than where you are now. It's a real chance to just reckon it and say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to keep standing up for Christ, and we'll now decide to move forward on purpose. You guys ever call my phone and get my voice message? What do I say at the end of it? Have a good day on purpose. It's a reckoning. You have to decide to have a good day, don't you? Don't you have to do that? You have to decide to be new as well. It's easy to do, easier than you think. If you turn to 1 John, which is at the back of your Bible, I quote this scripture all the time, but I want you to know where it is. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 1. This is about walking in the light of Christ rather than walking in the darkness of old stuff. You with me? Let's pay attention to the scripture for just a couple minutes. Chapter 1, 1 John, starting at verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If you place yourself under the care of Christ, you'll be walking and serving in the light instead of in the darkness. Do not let darkness enter into you. You can't be new when you're concerned about somebody turning the light off, and the only person that can do that is you if you don't walk in the light of Christ. And here it is about fellowship, keeping your fellowship together. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's getting to be brand new, right? When you're cleansed, you get all cleaned up. You remember Jerry Clower, the Christian comedian? You know Jerry Clower, don't you? He said when he went on his, he was getting ready to go on his first real date with a girl. And he went to his mama, and he held up a shirt, and he said, Mama, is this shirt dirty? And she said, Jerry, if you have any question that it's dirty, get you a clean one. Clean up. Spruce up. Stand up. Get your posture good for Christ. Walk in the light. Put on the newness. And if you have any trouble in your life, as all of us do from time to time, if we fall down, if we skin our knee, if we don't do exactly what we're supposed to do, then continue reading here, and God will bless you and tell you how you can become new even when you have had a little trouble. Here it is. You with me? If you're having a little trouble along the way, as all of us do from time to time, he says, first of all, tell the truth about your situation if you want to be new. Tell the truth. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Please, 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 don't go telling anybody that you have never sinned or that you have never sinned since you've been saved. You will make a liar out of Christ every time. You're going solidly against his word. You are not new. You are not honest. There's no truth in you. Your father is the devil. I'll just be plain. If you cannot confess to Christ, at least to Christ, that you have not been perfect and that you need help, then you really need help. Christ is giving us an opportunity and he's telling us how to do it. He's telling us how to be clean and new. And this goes for an entire church. If you walk in the world and say, gosh, look how good Vanderhoof Baptist Church is. We're really good. We're doing great, aren't we? We never make a mistake. We're good to everybody. Can't do it. But God in His wisdom and Christ in His mercy and in His grace supplies a way out of that. If we confess our sins, there's the key to becoming new again. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who's righteous? On their own, who is on their own as a human being walking on this planet, who's righteous? Do you believe that or are you just saying it? Because I have had people tell me that since they came to the altar that they are righteous. And I don't know who told them this, that they're righteous and they can't sin. They've told me to my face, I can't sin because I came to the altar and confessed my sins. Well, what did you do the second after that? And while you're telling me that you haven't had any sin, you're sinning. I just didn't have the nerve to tell the person, and it's been more than one. I just shook my head. The Bible says that we have all sinned. Period. This church needs to be a beacon of freshness and light in this world, in your community. Never boast and stick your chest out and say how good you are. Give Christ the credit and say, come see what the Lord is doing, because it's Him and His righteousness that gets us through everything that we face. And we face the same problems at Vanderhoof that every church has every day of the week. But you know what the difference is? For 13 years, there's been peace here. Why? Because we won't allow arguing in here. And we admit that we are not perfect and that we need help. And we ask for forgiveness. And we ask for His blessing. And we say that it's Him and not us. As people, as humans, we need to decrease. John the Baptist said that perfectly clear. As human beings, our pride needs to decrease while the grace of Christ increases. If I've learned nothing else over the years, I pray that I have learned that it is not me, it is Christ in me that gives me these words. Without Him, it's impossible. And I want to be new just like every other person, and I want your church to be new and shining so that when Christ comes, He'll pick you up and carry you away to a place that He has prepared for you. Turn with me to Romans again in chapter 4. I have so many messages. Christ just backed up to my door and unloaded a whole tractor trailer full of messages to get us through this. And I knew what He was doing, and I thanked Him for it. But I think it's incredible that He has done this, and I thank Him right now that He is doing what He is doing. Romans chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. We may finish here. I'm not sure if we're going to get to Ephesians. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. We'll finalize this. Just bear with me. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Abraham is a big deal to God. I want you to understand this, how big this is. Abraham is a huge deal for God, and so isn't King David. In Abraham, he found a good man that needed help. And he invested everything in Abraham to be the father of nations. And people took Abraham as being a god. They passed down stories about Abraham for generations and how God had chosen him and how he was a righteous man. But they forgot to read the scriptures, and they forget it today. They forget that Abraham was not righteous on his own. And people were never called to follow Abraham. They were called to follow Abraham's example of honoring God. It's what happens when people start following men or women in the pulpit instead of Christ. There becomes divisions and there's splits, and people leave churches because somebody leaves. If anybody leaves here because we're leaving, I'm going to visit you. This is not Craig Holler's work or Marilyn Holler's work. It's Christ's work through all of you, through the body. One person alone is not a body in Christ's opinion. It is everyone. Every person is extremely important, and you're a big deal to God, but He wants you to be new. And if you have any righteousness at all, any goodness, any newness, Christ gave it to you, just like He gave it to Abraham. And David said, I get it. Without God giving me the help that He gave me, I couldn't have done anything. He finally realized that. But for centuries and centuries, the Jewish people have been literally worshiping Abraham, and they do to this day, and Moses. And they say they can't go wrong because Abraham is their father. Abraham might be the seed, a flesh seed, and that's how this scripture reads. What did Abraham gain during the flesh? Nothing. He gained everything through God imputing or giving him righteousness. That's where he got gain. And this church will get gain if you don't say, it would be horrible. It would be the worst thing for God to say that, well, they're leaving. What are we going to do now? Well, that's ridiculous. We're just two people of many. And God will supply the next person. He'll take care of you just like He took care of Abraham, just like He took care of King David. You are as important to God. I told you Abraham's a big deal. You're a big deal. You're a huge deal. He needs you to be new and standing up and refreshed in God's Word. He needs you to be born again. He needs you to believe that He will take care of you. And He will take care of you. I promise you that. We may get to Ephesians, because I feel like I just got my second wind. And everybody said, oh my gosh.
You didn't mean you were only going to preach on Sundays until September 29th.
Oh, no, we're not leaving. We're going to be here until September the 30th. Hope you all packed a lunch. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Told you to read Ephesians 1, but I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You there? We're going to look at the last of this chapter, but I want to just point something out in the very beginning. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Here's what happened at Vanderhoof into each of your lives if you don't know this. Here's what's been happening at Vanderhoof the last 13 years. And to you individually, those of you who've accepted Christ. Here it is. Maybe you should write right in here. Not by some preacher. You know, start that heading right here in verse 8. Not by some preacher. And then you read, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Because that's how important you are. God wants to give you a gift. And you need to celebrate that gift and identify where it came from. It is from God, not from man. You with me? Did you all look at it? Did anybody? You need me? I'll read it again for those of you who weren't paying attention the first time. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And not of works, lest anyone should boast. Could it be any plainer? I don't think it could be any plainer. It's Christ who does the work in us through His Holy Spirit. That is the only thing. He is the reason that I can stand here and tell you this, is because I believe it in my heart, because I have faith to say it. And then I think we will end here. And everybody said amen. I would like you to read 17 through 22 with me. And I'm going to preface that by telling you about Jesus' promise. This should bring you great joy. This should make you know that you are new and you can be renewed constantly. When Christ left this earth, when He was getting ready to leave, by no means in comparison to me, not talking about that. When He left this earth, He prepared His disciples. And if you'd like to read about this, read John 14, 15, and 16, those chapters. But anyway, Jesus said, it is better for you that I leave so that I can leave my Holy Spirit with you, so that I can be everywhere all the time. It's part of the omnipresence of God, in that He can be everywhere at all times with everyone who calls upon Him through His Spirit, because His Spirit is life. So I'm preface what I'm about to read with that. It is the Spirit of God who calls us to do good things for Him, and it's the spirit of evil that causes us to do bad things and boast. Boasting should not be in us. It should be praise to Christ Jesus. And He will honor that. So let's read the rest of this together. And this is also about the newness and how new we can be in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing to this church at Ephesus, and he's telling about the ministry of Jesus Christ. And it says, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Meaning that he preached, Jesus Christ preached to everyone. To those who were near, the meaning here is the Jews. They were God's chosen people at the time. To those who were far off, it means the Gentiles who had not been included in God's chosen people up until that point. So Paul is saying to the Jews, people that should know God's word, he's preaching to them, and he's also preaching to people that have not put their faith in God at all, to the Gentiles, to the ones that worship false idols. But, you know, you need to understand this. The Jews were worshiping false idols as well because they loved money more than they loved God. They loved power more than they loved God. They loved position more than they loved God. And God came to set all things straight through the person of Jesus Christ, making salvation and newness available to all people. You with me? Making it available to everyone. That's the New Testament in Christ's blood. That salvation is available to all people. So here he is, he comes and he preaches peace, reconciliation. And through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. That our access to God is through the Spirit. That's why we say you need to be in the Spirit to worship. You need to get your spiritual head on when you come to worship. You need to quit thinking about the junk and think about God and what he's done. Not what some man or some woman's done, what God has done. Or not what you have done, what he has done. He has created and started a great work in you here. And he expects you to continue that good work for his sake. And he says, when you've accepted him and accepted the challenge and become new, in verse 19, it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You're a team. Are you with me? We're going to end here. Just give me at the most 4 more minutes. You're a team. You're a great team. You're doing good things through the Spirit of God that leads you to do the good things that you're doing. You need to rely on God's Spirit. His Spirit is here. It's strong. And it's in you. And you can do mighty things. God said that if we had the faith of a mustard seed, we could call out to a mountain, mountain, be thou moved, and it would just get up and move. Pray that God would strengthen and deepen your faith so that anything you face, you can handle through faith. You're no longer foreigners. You're saints, and you're members of the household of God. Having been built, here it is, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. If you ever, ever, ever doubt who the rock of salvation is, who the rock of the church is, read this scripture. A whole religion is built around someone saying that Christ said that Peter was the rock and the foundation, and he was going to build his church on that. They have had it wrong for centuries, and they have the same Bible we have. Christ is the foundation. He is the solid rock. He is the cornerstone. He is the reason for us to have faith to begin with. There is no other cornerstone. There is no other foundation. There is no other author of a new church than Jesus Christ. Period. I don't care what anyone says or whatever they write, because if they're writing it any other way than what this Bible just said, then they are writing a lie. Why am I saying this? I'm not denigrating a religion. I'm trying to tell you who you need to rely on. God's Word. Stand on God's Word. Don't do like some people. I literally saw somebody get their Bible, put it on the floor and stand on it and claim that they were standing on God's Word. Almost went blind and deaf and wanted to scream. And they meant it. They weren't joking. They said, yeah, I go to my room and I go to that dark place. They were bragging to me about what they did. I go to the room, I go to the dark place, I get my Bible out and I stand on it. I'm standing on God's Word. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And if you will rely on Jesus and His Holy Spirit, you will be even better than all right. You will be brand new. You'll be forceful. You'll be life-changing. And you'll take God's church and His mission to new heights that you haven't even thought about. You can do this. It's God's plan that you do this. And He wants you to continue to be new. You are a new creation in Christ. Admit it. Say it. Believe it. Pray with me.